session number 104.19, reel 4.
Talking about the
Italian gentleman that asked you for a drink, Brigadier.
Well, he asked me what I'd have to drink, and I said, "What have you got?" And he said, "Well, Johnny Walker, Black Label, or anything you like." And I said, "Well, how did it come about that you've got all this?" And he said, "Well, I bricked it up when Kesselring was here. And so I've still got it."
What was the situation in this Italian place at the time? Were you? Was the battalion in a role of looking after the town, or keeping the peace, or what have you?
Yes, we were keeping the peace, and we stayed in an Italian hotel. And all our kit came over from the canal zone, and the mess waiter who hadn't been with us, the mess sergeant who hadn't been with us before the war, was very surprised when he found there were a mass of heads and stuff amongst the contents. And so he said, "Well, it's all heads, or it's all horns." And I said, "Well, in those days we used to have in the mess a mass of trophies." And he was very surprised, and then I remember a mess corporal said, "There's a cook here from Claridge's," and I said, "Well, take him on." And we had a very good dinner one night with Pozzola came in, and he said, "I understand your cook is from Claridge's," and I said, "Yes." And he said, "May I speak to him?" And I said, we'll get him in." And he got him in, and he said, "What stage have you got to?" And as far as I can remember, it was about the sauces. And he said, "Well, that's very good. You haven't got much further to go." And he then turned around to me and said, "I hope you don't mind me saying it." And I said, "No, I think it's a very good thing, because he knows of you." And he said, "Well, he'll know of me by name, if not by reputation." And
was the battalion involved in any rounding up of the fascists that were in Italy, or were the Italians themselves in any turmoil at this time?
No, they didn't seem to be. We were there to keep the peace, and the thing worked out properly.
What happened after this, Brigadier?
Well, after I got back from Italy, I went to the RAF Staff College 17th War course from the 1st of April to the 10th of October, 46. And I was still a local lieutenant colonel.
And what kind of What was going on there? What were you being trained for at that stage?
Well, I was there as a soldier, because they had they had four soldiers or five there, and I was also staff trained, and so after that I became I then went on to the War Office as GSO2.
And what dates are these, Brigadier?
October 46 to June 47, and I was on the land. I was first in G Air, and then it changed to land air warfare because the Royal Air Force objected to anybody being called G Air. Then I went out to became a G1 in 6th Airborne Division in Palestine in July, July 47, and I went on in that capacity until August 48, and then I became a major and dropped and became DA and QMG CIGS Exercise Planning Staff. From August 48 to July 49, and then I became a local lieutenant colonel at the Staff College, Camberley, from 6/9/49. To 30/12/51, when I took over 10th Parachute Battalion, and the first thing I did with that battalion was to attend the King's funeral, and I had a regimental sergeant major from the Grenadier Armed Guards who was attached to the parachute regiment, who kept shouting out behind me, "Don't forget the word of command, Shun," as a light infantryman. And then I went to become GSO1 Lieutenant Colonel to headquarters 16 Airborne Division in Pont Street, London, and uh, then the airborne division folded up, and so I went to become G1 of 56 Div in London, who were then being changed over to from an armoured division to an infantry division. And so I was necessary as an infantry soldier.
Where did you go after that, Brigadier?
Well, I stayed there until August 59, with, first of all, General David Dorney, and then General Bobby Bray. And then I came up to Northumberland for 149 Infantry Brigade, which had, at that moment, three battalions of Fusiliers. And as the then CIGS, Field Marshal Festing, was colonel of the Northumberland Fusiliers, I asked for a fifth Fusilier adjutant, and he gave me one. And then he said, at this time, the 4th Battalion of the Border Regiment became free to come to a brigade, and Field Marshal Festing said to me, you and I know that the Pennines are not a barrier, but the Cumbrian doesn't think the same way as the Geordie. And I said, no, sir. And he said, well, then, if you can get the thing to the Army, the decision to the Army Council, I will back you. And so we became a 4-battalion brigade with the 4th Borders in with the 3 Fusilier battalions. And as such, we remained for about 2 years.
Does that bring you up to your retirement? Were you there until you retired?
I then stayed in 149 Brigade until I retired in this part of the world. And so remained up here in Northumberland.
Looking back over your career, what we haven't mentioned yet, of course, was the your decorations. We haven't mentioned those yet. Do you have any recall as to when you got them and what they were?
Well, the Military Cross was at Capuzzo, and the DSO was for service in 10th Indian, commanding the battalion. And I stress commanding the battalion. It was really for the whole battalion. Very good battalion.
What was the most interesting job you had? Of course, there may well have been more than one, of course.
Well, it's difficult to say. One of the most rewarding was G2 at tactical headquarters at the 8th Army during the Battle of Alamein. And one of the other ones was a brigade major of 4th Parachute Brigade.
You're telling me how important it was to have staff jobs during the war as a form of relaxation from frontline command. Why was that, Brigadier?
Well, I think that you could relax on the staff as opposed to regimental soldiering. And perhaps that is a difficult way of putting it, but I think that if you balance the two up of staff work and regimental soldiering, you can go on much longer. And that I was able to go on for 7 years or however long it was is a mark of this.
If a soldier didn't have that break and was in a regimental command, what kind of period of time do you feel it would be just about the optimum?
Well, I think when you first go, when you first start commanding, you are inexperienced, but you take in your soldiers with a certain amount of dash, and once you've been in a long time, you tend to become rather cautious. And so it's a question of how long you should command. I don't know.
It must vary from person to person.
I think so. I think everybody has got the right amount of tolerance, or whatever the correct expression is.
What is your opinion of the Geordie as a soldier?
I think he's the finest soldier in the world. I think it's largely because of his tradition. Most of them are pitmen, and as such learn to dig, and they're in a small team, and so they're natural soldiers anyhow. I think that the Geordie is the finest soldier in the world.
This is a difficult question, I know, but of all of the commanders you had in the war, who would you put down to be the finest?
You mean superior commander?
Superior commander, yes.
Field Marshal John Harding was a very fine commander, and I remember when General Dick McCreary came up from Army headquarters to see me towards the end of the war, and he asked to talk to his chief of staff on the telephone, and I said to my signal officer, Bob Scott, "Have a bash, you haven't a chance of getting through." And he said, "I've got through." And General John Harding said to me, "How on earth did you do that?" And I said, "I don't know." And I wasn't taking it for granted, and I said, "Who is that?" And on the telephone, and I said, "Your son, Ray, for you." And then I turned around to General Dick McCreary and said, "This is your chief of staff." And Field Marshal John Harding, who was the finest corps commander, said, "How on earth did you do that?" And I said, "I haven't the faintest idea."
Do you recall any moments during the war when you felt you were in a position where you may not get out of it?
Well, the only position was when it was quite obvious that German guns were arranging for us for my headquarters, and I realized they couldn't see me, and the only thing that could see me was a monastery tower, and there were German monks in there that were directing the fire. And later we told the Gurkhas about this, and they went in and fixed them all up.
This was in Italy.
This was in Italy.